uncle on Tony Kevin, who is a long-standing member of Merlingford House, joined when it first was created, I think, and a former diplomat. From 1968 to 1998, he served in the Australian Embassy in Russia and Poland, where he was ambassador, among other countries that he served in. Since 2000, Tony has been an independent author and commentator, and amongst other books, he wrote Return to Moscow in 2017. Perhaps he brought some, I'm not sure. He has also published extensively in other media outlets on Russia.
Thanks. Thanks, Penny. And it's a delight to be here at Manning Clark House and to be among so many friendly faces. Thank you. And I think this is a wonderful event. And, Baz, it's wonderful that you've come up from Melbourne to help inaugurate what I hope will be a very successful activity of Manning Clark House. It's being recorded for posterity by Fyodor over there, so your immortal words and Marina's and my not-so-immortal words will be recorded. So the poem that I've chosen is a poem called Ossian, Orson, and it's got an interesting history which connects to a lot of things that I'm interested in about Russia. It was written in a place called Bolshoye Boldino, which is a little village of about 5,000 people, about 100 kilometers south of Nizhny Novgorod, or southeast of Nizhny Novgorod. So it's way out there towards Siberia, really, and getting towards Kazakhstan. It was sort of the frontier. So only 200 years before Pushkin was going to Boldino, the nearby town Nizhny Novgorod was a fortress at the eastern frontier of Russia, and beyond it was the one of the Tatar principalities, the Tatar Khanates, which was the city of Kazan, which was a Tatar city. So there were the Tatars, and there was Siberia beyond. It was sort of on the edge, and even when Pushkin was going to his estate, it wasn't like the comfortable, manicured estates close to St. Petersburg. It was a little bit wild and a little bit rough. It was 600 kilometers from Moscow, to the east of Moscow, a long way. And in those days, when you had to travel by horses and carriages, a particularly long way, it was remote. He spent two autumns there, autumn 1830 and autumn 1833. He was 30 years and 33 years old at the time. Both of these visits were extremely creative. He wrote a lot of Yevgeny Onegin during the first visit to Boldino, and he wrote a lot of the Bronze Horseman during the second visit in 1833. So these were terribly creative periods for him. And what I like about this poem, Ossian, is that it expresses in so many interesting ways why Pushkin loved being buried in the countryside, why he really didn't feel comfortable in the pomp and ceremony and protocol of St. Petersburg, particularly if he had a very glamorous wife who everybody was after. And he was sort of the accompanying husband, and it must have been very humiliating for him in many ways, and I don't think he was happily married, really. I read between the lines, and I think he was essentially a bachelor, and he liked to be alone with his creativity. That's my personal opinion, and that's why he loved these Boldinsky autumns, Boldinsky Osini, where he could be creative and do his own thing. And when I read this poem to you, you'll see what I mean. It talks about why he loves autumn best, and he talks a little bit about the other seasons, which I won't read, otherwise the poem would be too long, because it's about 12 verses long. I'm just going to read the last six. But it talks about how in the autumn he can first of all see the beauties of nature, and you've got a bit of autumn in this tree here. If you look at it, you can sort of pretend it's a bit of autumn there. And this garden is like a Russian country garden, in fact, very much so. So he, first of all, he talks about the natural beauty of autumn. And then he talks about taking his horse out for a ride on the icy roads. And I so identify with that, because when I was ambassador in Warsaw, which of course in Pushkin's day was part of the Russian Empire, I used to go to remote country estates and ride horses. And I used to love to get away from Warsaw and get into the country. And I loved the hard clip-clop of the horses' hooves on the icy roads. So I sort of feel all that. It's very close to me. And then he goes back into the house, and he, which was, let me say a quick word about the house. It's like a lot of Russian country estate houses. They're not palaces. They're very comfortable houses. They're usually two-story, basically wooden houses. They've got, formal rooms for entertaining. They've got cozy rooms for sitting in front of the fire in the winter. They're beautiful places. And actually, this house in Bolshoye Volgina is now a museum. And it's on my bucket list of things to do when I'm next able to go to Russia. I want to go to Bolshoye Volgina and drink in the feelings of being near where Pushkin wrote some of his most creative work. So after he gets back to the house, he's sitting there by the fire, warming up. And first of all, he's just sort of being a bit dull and vacant. Thinks, oh, what'll I do? Will I read? Will I do something? And then the creative urge to write a poem comes to him. And he's describing in this poem, Ossian, what it means to write a poem. And you'll see from the translation what I'm talking about. I won't spoil it by anticipating it. Now, a word about the translation. This is a free translation from a modern library book of Pushkin in English by Yavram Yamolinsky, which I picked up as a hardback secondhand for about $30 or $40. Hasn't arrived yet. It's on its way to me. But I was very pleased to get it. And it's impossible to translate Pushkin. If you translate it literally, it comes across as flat. And if you do a free translation, which Yamolinsky does, it's a little distance away from the original word. The only solution is to learn Russian. And finally, I'll say something about my attempt at reading the poem in Russian after I read it in English. There's a saying that, the talking dog, and it wasn't wonderful how well he was speaking. The wonderful thing is that he was speaking at all. And I think that's a little bit like my reading Russian after Marina's reading Russian. It'll be flat, lacking in emphasis, full of pronunciation and stress mistakes. I'm only reading it and not asking Marina to read it because I want to show that it's worth the effort to try to learn Russian. Even a dope like me can get this far. We should all try to do it. I seem to have lost the opening. Now, here we are. I'll read you the opening verse and I'll jump over to the seventh verse. October comes at last. The grove is shaking the last reluctant leaves from naked boughs. The autumn cold has breathed. The road is freezing. The brook still sounds behind the miller's house, but the pond's hushed. And now with his pack, my neighbour makes for the distant field. His hounds will rouse the woods with barking, and his horse's feet will trample cruelly the winter wheat. Now I've jumped to the seventh line, stanza. O mournful season that delights the eyes! Your farewell beauty captivates my spirit. I love the pomp of nature's fading dyes, the forests garmented in gold and purple, the rush of noisy wind and the pale skies, half hidden by the clouds in darkling billows, and the rare sun ray and the early frost, and the threats of grizzled winter heard and lost. Each time that autumn comes, I bloom afresh. For me, I find the Russian cold is good. Again, I go through life's routine with relish. Sleep comes in season and the need for food. Desire seethes and I am young and merry. My heart beats fast with lightly leaping blood. I'm full of life, such as my organism, if you will please excuse the prosaism. My horse is brought. Far out onto the plain he carries his glad rider, and the frozen dale echoes to his shining hooves. His mane streams in the keen wind like a banner blowing, and the bright ice creaks under him again. But day soon flickers out, at the forgotten hearth, where the fire purrs low or leaps like the wind, I read or nourish long thoughts in my mind. And I forget the world in the sweet silence while I'm lulled by fancy. And once more the soul, oppressed with the old lyric fever, trembles, reverberates, and seeks to pour its burden freely forth. And as though dreaming, I watch the children that my visions bore, and I'm host to the invisible throngs who fill my reveries and build my songs. And thoughts stir bravely in my head, and rhymes run forth to meet them on light feet, and fingers reach for the pen, and the good quill betimes ask for the foolscap. Wait, the verses follow. Thus a still ship sleeps on still seas. Hark, the chimes, and swiftly all hands leap to man the rigging. The sails are filled, they belly in the wind, the monster moves, a foaming track behind. It sails. But whither is it our ship goes? Now I'll read the last five stanzas in Russian. Unilaya para, Ocheya charavanya. Приятна мне твоя прощальная краса. Люблю я пышную природу удивания. В нагрец и в золото одетые леса. Вик сеньяк ветра шум и свежие дыхания. И мглой волнистую покрытие небеса. И редкий солнца луч, и первые морозы, и отдаленные седой зимы угрозы. И с каждой осенью я расцветаю вновь. Здоровью моему полезен русский холод. К привычкам бытия вновь чувствую любовь. Средой слетает сон, чередой находит голод. Легко и радостно играет в сердце кровь. Желания кипят. Я снова счастлив, молод. Я снова жизни полн. Такой мой организм. Извольте меня простить. Ненужный прозаизм. Ведут ко мне коня, раздоли открытым, махая грибою, он всадника несет. И звонко под его блистающим копытом звенит промьезлым дол и трескается лед. Но гаснет краткий день, и в каменке забытым огонь опять горит, то яркий свет льет. То клеет медленно, а я пред ним читаю, или думи долгие в душе моей питаю. И забываю мир, и в сладкой тишине я сладко услеплен моим воображением, и пробуждается поэзия во мне, душа стесняется лирическим волнением. Препешет и звучит, и ищет, как во сне, из лица, наконец, свободным проявлением, и тут ко мне идет незримый рой гостей, знакомцы давние, плоды мечты моей. И мысли в голове волнуются в отбаге, и рифмы легкие навстречу им бегут, и пальцы простятся к перу, перо к бумаге. Минута! И стихи свободно потекут. Как дремлет недвижим корабль недвижном багье. Ночью матросы вдруг кидаются, ползут вверх, вниз, и паруса надулись, ветра полны, громада двинулась и раскакает волны. Плывет. Куда к нам плыть?
Thanks, Tony. Perfect dressing.